Welcome, friends, to another show of the Movement is Medicine podcast. I have Dr. Annie Armstrong in the house.
Woo!
And we have a special guest for you today who is going to bring some fascinating insights into a topic that many of you might find very helpful. I have Dr. Rebecca Taylor from Green City Dental and Otodontics in the studio today. And we're going to talk about a couple different interesting topics today. Dr. Annie, why don't you cue up what we're going to talk about, because it's something you're going through right now with your son.
Yeah, it's been a really important experience for us and our family. Dr. Taylor and I have been trying to connect for a long time, and finally we went and had lunch together and got on the topic of my son, Aiden, who has had chronic neck pain. But he's a 19-year-old man. He's healthy. I'm his mother. So obviously his neck is well cared for. So we know there's something above and beyond. And I was thinking long COVID, and he's been through a lot of different treatments for his neck, but he has this chronic upper cervical pain, chronic. And he's told me little things like, Mom, are my teeth, top teeth supposed to go over my bottom teeth when I bite? Is that normal? I'm like, sure, I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. And so when we were talking at lunch, Dr. Taylor pointed out a few things that made me rethink that. And so Aiden had his first assessment last week, and it was really fascinating. So, yeah, we just discovered that Aiden has got, I'll let you speak to it, but he's got a number of different issues going on.
Yeah. When I saw Aiden, we did a CT scan to evaluate the position of his jaw. And we also looked at the size of his airway and his tongue position, because those things all can contribute to upper cervical pain and neck stuff. We also took a iTero scan, which evaluated his bite, to look to see if there was any discrepancies in his bite that might be causing a shift in his jaw or his muscles that would then also contribute to the upper cervical spine. And what we found with him was that he had a very deep overbite. So when we have deep overbites, what that means is that the top teeth overlap the bottom teeth a lot, and that causes the lower jaw to be pushed back. And when the lower jaw gets pushed back, it puts pressure on the nerves and the blood supply posterior to the joint space. And that can cause a lot of TMJ pain. So that was one of the things that we saw with Aiden, was that he had the deep bite. And then the other thing that we noticed was that he had a tongue posture. So his tongue and his mouth was resting down. It wasn't resting up. And the tongue is a very interesting muscle. I never thought I would be talking to patients so much about the tongue, being a dentist, and nobody talks about it. But the tongue is connected to the hyoid bone, which is a floating bone in the neck that connects back up to the cervical spine. And so there's this direct correlation between the tongue position and the tongue connection to the hyoid bone and the spine. And the tongue, the fascia underneath the tongue, actually, if you dissect cadavers, it goes all the way down to the toes. So we call the spine, or we call the tongue, is the rudder of the spine. So if we're not looking at tongue position, we're not really seeing the whole picture as to what is going on with maybe some dysfunction. So with Aiden, we saw he has a low tongue position. And so I told him we need to correct that. And a lot of times people have low tongue position because they mouth breathe. And the mouth breathing a lot of the times comes from either a habit that you get when you're a kid. So let's say that you're a kid, you get sick all the time, you learn to breathe through your mouth, and the tongue just loses its muscle tone. And so you just think, oh, breathing through my mouth is normal. Normal position really should be tongue up in the palate, breathing through the nose, lips together, and teeth slightly apart. That's how we always want to be, day and night. And so what happens when that tongue is down is that it puts pressure on the upper cervical spine and the hyoid bone, and it causes instability in the muscles and in the jaw. And this can cause TMJ issues and pain, joint pain. It can also cause spinal, upper cervical spine chronic conditions, like what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. The tongue plays a huge role. And so we have to retrain the tongue. The other thing with Aiden, when I dug deeper, was that he said that he was allergic to the dog. Was it the dog or the cat?
He's allergic to both, actually.
Okay. Because I'm always trying to figure out why is your tongue down? Why are you mouth breathing? What is going on? Is this really a habit, or is it because there's some kind of obstruction? Sometimes tongues can be tied. If you have a tongue tie, that will make it so you can't get your tongue up in your palate. So I'm always like trying to figure out like, what's going on? Why is your tongue down and weak? Why are you not able to breathe through your nose at nighttime or during the day? I screen a lot of kids and adults. A lot of them have an open mouth. And if the mouth is open, the tongue is down.
So interesting with the tongue. I was going to say, no one's ever talked to me about my tongue. I've never thought about it.
We are all, so Dr. Taylor came and did a presentation here for the docs and I, and we've all been like,
we're now around the whole time you were talking.
Our tongue?
Yeah, I'm like feeling my mouth. I'm like, where is my tongue at right now? Oh, yeah, okay, right. Where are my teeth positioned at right now?
Nobody teaches you this stuff.
No.
And I've had patients where we just focus on getting their tongue up in their palate, and we do that through what we call myofunctional therapy, which is basically like physical therapy for the tongue. You get the tongue up in the palate, and we get the lips stronger so that they can stay closed. And I've seen jaw clicking go away. I've seen TMJ pain go away. It's incredible how important the tongue as a stabilizing muscle is.
Yes, so it's interesting. So from an area of specialty, you have these two different areas that you help people with. On one side, with Green City, that's holistic dentistry. But on you're really, this whole specialty here more with Aiden, what we're talking about today, is really more on your O2 Donics side, that business that you really focus there. And it, would you say that's a pretty significant problem that a lot of people deal with, like the TMJ, the jaw clicking, the airway, the snoring?
I would say, how many people know somebody that snore?
I'm everyone. Like 80% of the people I know snore.
So it's a big
sinus issues too.
It's right? a big deal. Yes. Well, that's because wine causes the smooth muscle to not work as well, right? That's really common. Yeah, treat your snoring. We just have to cut out the alcohol and wine.
Bring the wine down.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
less than two glasses, I'm fine. But more than two, snoresville.
Yeah. It's really common. A lot of people have snoring. They have jaw clicking. They have airway issues. It's all linked together because most people, when they snore, their mouth is open. And it's caused from the vibration of the soft palate. And when your mouth is open, your tongue is down. Then you get jaw clicking and popping and you get the muscles get irritated. And so it's all linked together. But a lot of times patients come to me and they don't know that they have an airway issue. They don't know that they snore. They don't know that they have sleep apnea. So we do a lot of educating of patients. A lot of them say, oh, I can't clench and grind my teeth because I'm always sleeping with my mouth open. And I'm like, that means that your muscles are really irritated if your mouth is open because your jaw's pushed back. You're stretching all the muscles. So what happens is we breathe through our mouth and then our muscles get irritated and then we clench and we grind our teeth to try to release those muscles.
I was assuming there was a connection with the grinding and the clenching.
Yes. So a lot of times, again, I'm always trying to find the cause of grinding, clenching. A lot of people come in, they're like, I clench through my night guards. I just can't stop clenching and grinding. I'm so tight in my jaw. And we have to look at how they're sleeping, how they're breathing. What's their tongue doing? Is their mouth closed? Is their nose open? Sometimes we have to add in other practitioners to help us with getting the nose clear. Maybe a naturopath is necessary to help figure out, is there any food sensitivities going on? Or is there mold exposure in the house? Or do we have a really strong tongue tie that might need some myofunctional therapy and potentially a release? So all of those things go into our analysis. Like when we saw Aiden, I think most dentists, their solution to treating TMJ issues is just to give you a night guard. I hear this all the time.
It would be the equivalent of back pain, here's your pill.
Yeah.
The equivalent of, like, here's this tool.
Or just a straight adjustment and nothing else to support the spine.
And the
right?
problem
right.
is you're completely ignoring the function part and the muscle part and the cranial part and the spinal part. All of that is linked together. And a lot of times, and this is actually really interesting, so in dental school, I was taught to treat TMJ, you make a top night guard. Mm-hmm. The top night guard is pretty bulky and it covers quite a bit of palate. And so if you're telling people you need to put your tongue up in your palate, that's the proper position, they can't get their tongue up there because there's all this acrylic. Studies actually show that upper night guards make sleep apnea and snoring worse. they can make the problem worse. And it just is, there's such a lack of education in the dental community. And I just see this every day where patients bring in their night guards and they're like, this makes it worse. Am I crazy? And I'm like, no, it does make it worse. It's worse.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I like my night guard, but now I'm not sure what it's doing to me.
We can test it.
I thought it's up to it. But no, it's so interesting. I think for people who are suffering with that chronic neck pain, and that was really, you know, that sparked our whole conversation, is because we have patients here who we know enough to know, hey, there's a TMJ jaw tie-in, TMJ neck tie-in, excuse me. And if the neck adjustment's not holding, if those muscles keep punching up there, if it's always tonic, like something more is going on. But yeah, we've been really had a difficult time finding someone to help us in that journey of assessment.
What's next?
Who do we send them to now?
Who can help?
And there's one person, I can't remember who it is exactly, but they build splints and all this different stuff, and they inject the jaw and they put steroids and all. I mean, it's like really an intensive amount of work, which doesn't make sense, like the work you're doing. When you talk about the fact that every time the teeth touch, you're really resetting that jaw to a bad place. If I have adjusted someone, I've cleared their neck at this perfect place, then they go out and go for lunch and they start chewing, they're right back where they started from.
Absolutely.
So it can't win.
Yeah. If you don't have a stable jaw bite and your teeth are not coming together properly, then it's going to be really hard for chiropractic adjustments to hold.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're a patient that has to see the chiropractor really frequently because you're constantly going out, I would be thinking, what's going on with your jaw, your bite, your tongue position, your breathing?
Has it been your experience that this is an area where people are just undereducated about the role that all of these factors play in the quality of their life, the quality of their sleep, like how they're not even thinking of these things sometimes when they talk to you?
Yeah.
That'd be my
guess. I hear it every day. People are like, how come nobody ever told me that I have a tongue tie or that my tongue belongs up in my palate? They just, and a lot of times when you know, if you can treat a kid that you see dysfunction in, that's going to serve them their whole life. So a lot of times I really love treating kids because I can make such a big difference in their life early. Most facial growth and development happens between the ages of 2 and 5. But usually dentists and orthodontists don't even really want to do anything with these kids until they're 8, 9, 10, 11, when all their adult teeth have come in. But by the time that you get there, they're out of that magical growth phase where they're so malleable and you can have such a dramatic impact with very little intervention. So when I see kids, I'm always like, I got to treat you. I want to treat you now. Adults are harder because you've gone your whole life with these patterns of you're set in your ways. You're used to breathing a certain way. You're used to compensating a certain way. And so to unwind that and to teach it the right way, it can be challenging. But it's also how we really get to the root cause and how we fix it in a more permanent way versus just not really knowing what to do with you and having you see the chiropractor every week because your neck hurts.
Yeah, I imagine it has to get to a spot where the pain of not figuring it out becomes greater than getting in there and doing some different works or trying some different tools, or like in the case with Aiden where you've tried so much.
Yeah.
And then you're at this spot where what's next? Like, we don't know. And then having the conversation with you, really fortuitous to say, oh, there's this whole other area we can explore and things we can start to work on and maybe new tools. And you mentioned testing, which is really something that I didn't really think a lot about in this, in terms of dental work or this whole deal, right? We talk about it all the time in kind of certain scenarios. We talked about it here with muscle testing or whatever, but same, you sound like testing is like a big part of figuring out what's really going on, what's the underlying cause, and then from there we can figure out what that solution is.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't test, then you don't know. And a lot of people don't know what they do when they're sleeping. You're like, hey, are you sleeping with your mouth open or closed? And they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you snore? I have no idea. So they just don't know. And so we do make it really easy for people to be screened, because the thing with the airway is that's your link. That's the way you get oxygen into your body. And what made me really excited about this type of work was that when I realized that oxygen is the most important nutrient that we put into our body, it's more important than any food. It's more important than water. You can only survive a couple minutes without it. And if you're not getting good oxygen chronically, night after night, that's going to have a really big impact on your total body health. And so that's one of the number one things I think that you can do is to make sure you have a healthy airway, make sure you're getting good oxygen when you're sleeping, especially, because that is, it can be very easy to treat. It can be as easy as put your tongue up and close your mouth and do little exercises. That can make such a big difference for somebody's total body health, and it doesn't have to involve all these injections and steroids and expensive bite guards and all of these things. Dentists are so bite guard happy. And again,
last time I had a glenoid bite guard, it was like $1,200 or something.
Yeah, they're so expensive.
Yeah, and the thing with that is, so they just are literally putting a piece of plastic between your teeth. Do they know why they're putting your jaw there? Why are they making it that tall? Why are they making it with this jaw position, this thin or that thick? So you have to test the muscles. You have to make sure that the spine is aligned when you take your bite registration to make that guard. You have to make sure that all of those things are done and that you unwind the patient and establish some proper function in their muscles before you even think about making a guard. That's not the first step. The first step is really unwinding them. Annie was asking me, like, when do you want me to send people to you? And I said, I want you to get as far as you can with what you do. And we were like, okay, I can't go any farther here. I think we need you. That's when I want to see people, because if we don't look at the other things like the spine and the cranial bones and the muscles as a first line, then the dental type of treatment with the guard just isn't as effective.
So interesting. So sometimes you'll say in your kind of assessment, testing and kind of root cause analysis and doing that dental detective work and the airflow dental detective work to figure out what's really going on, sometimes you'll say, oh, actually, yeah, we have a musculoskeletal issue here that you need to get corrected first, and let's go that path. So go see Annie and her team or whatever, and that will potentially resolve that with some additional exercises or some additional kind of work I'm going to have you do on your own.
Yeah, totally. And sometimes I say, I don't know if you're going to need a guard. Let's see how you respond to the body work and the chiropractic work and the muscle work, and then we can always add it in later. It's not... We can always add it in. I always try to be the most minimally invasive as I can. And I don't really want to give somebody a treatment that they don't really need. But that really goes back to proper diagnosis and testing and looking for certain things. One of the things that we do in my office is we tens people. So we put a tens machine on the jaw joints and on the spine or on the neck. And what that TENS does is it allows all of the muscles to come to their physiological rest position. And usually when we do that, the jaw will come down and forward. That's where it is most comfortable. So we take the teeth out of the equation. We ask, where do the muscles want this jaw to be? And we couple that with chiropractic. So where is the spine and the muscles and the cranial bones? Where are they happy? And then we build our guard to that position. But sometimes when I tens people, their bite is not that different. Their jaw doesn't come down and forward that much. So in a patient like that, they may not be a good candidate for a bite guard. They might need to do more of the muscle work. Because even just doing the myofunctional therapy and the muscle work and repositioning your tongue up, that can change your bite. I have seen patients where their bite changes only from doing myofunctional therapy and chiropractic. A dentist always saying, oh, I'm in charge of the bite, and when I do a filling or a crown or a bite guard, I'm in charge of this bite. But the thing is, like, when you go see the chiropractor, they're changing your bite. They are. And I have the scans to prove it because I do these scans. I do these tests on patients. So that's very exciting, but it also means dentists and chiropractors have to work together. It's an integrative model. It's not just go see your dentist, they'll fix your TMJ. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a slam dunk for patients because maybe it's mostly a bite issue. But there's so much else to that piece. There's so many pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah, like so much of what we've seen, this care team approach. And if you're looking at your own health, the question you should be asking yourself is not, where's the one place I can go to get everything done? It's really, how do I build this team that functions and communicates well together and can put me in front of or connect me to the right resource at the right time for me to really accelerate my care and get to the spot where I'm healed faster, better, and it's lasting.
I think the more people who understand, we're all very educated, but we didn't understand your work. And here you are down the street from us, right? And
right. So,
for example, on Thursday, I'm going to bring my boy in here. I'm going to completely clear his cervicals, his muscles. We're going to get everything perfect. He's going to put a little bite protector on so he doesn't touch his teeth. We're driving straight to Dr. Taylor's office. She's going to tend him, and then she's going to measure where he's at.
Yeah. So
that's the amount of involvement has to go in to sort of do this check, right? The spinal check to see, does he actually need an appliance built, which is also very specialized and interesting what you're doing with the appliance work you're doing to actually fix the issue.
Yeah.
And so it, but I think, again, knowledge is power, right? The more we know, the amount of people who are out there, you're just suffering from these chronic jaw pain, neck pain, headaches over and over again. And this is a life-changing thing.
Yeah.
It's really profound.
And I will say one of the issues with your traditional dental splint is that usually it's only worn at nighttime, but we need it all the time. If your bite is off, there's tons of proprioception that happens in the bite and goes up to the brain. And it literally is, it's so important for so many different things that your bite is balanced. And when you just wear a guard at nighttime, you take it out in the morning, you go eat breakfast. Guess what? That's when you need it the most. You need it when you're functioning. Because if you take your guard out when you eat, now your jaw is going back into this weird, funky place. And so we can never get full healing of a jaw joint if we're taking our guard in and out. It's just not possible. You have to design an appliance, if you're going to make one, you have to design it so that you can eat with it in. And you have to design it so it's not bulky, so you can get your tongue up in your palate. It has to feel physiologic, has to feel like teeth. And it also has to move with the cranial bones, because the maxilla is a big bone. There's over 20 cranial bones that are all connected in the head, and they all have sutures, and they're supposed to move. So if you put an appliance over the palate that crosses the midline and it's going to lock all those sutures up, a lot of times patients will get headaches and it'll make the problem worse. So you have to specifically, you have to pick the type of guard that is functional. And most of the types of orthotics and night guards and whatever that they make, they don't check those boxes.
Not at all.
They don't check nearly any of
them.
Any boxes would be like, yeah, no box was checked. The box is very little.
Absolutely not.
I think this is a fascinating and super helpful, very insightful topic for people who have maybe struggled with or going through this, dealing with it, probably have dealt with it for a long time. For those of us out there who are parents and you have kids who have these issues, this is a great resource and sounds like a really powerful way to help them when they're younger solve a problem that could prevent countless issues as they get older. So that's a great place, a good call out, call to action, parents. Mm-hmm. This is a good place to go see Dr. Taylor. And then all of our adult listeners out there who, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh yeah, for sure something's going on with my jaw, because I'm sure a lot of us who are listening to this and just talking with you immediately are like, oh yeah, I definitely have something going on, or should get it checked out. Now you have a resource that goes way beyond the generic, standardized, one-size-fits-all approach of looking at it and saying, yeah, here's your night guard. It reminds me of the chiros who love to just give the shoe, the orthotics or what are the shoe things that drives you crazy.
We've talked about that. Yeah. Does drive
that is exactly the same, it's the same feeling that I get.
It's, oh, you need this insole thing, this foot thing. It's going to fix everything. It's just this, well, it's this generic thing that we're going to order, but it costs $9,000, but it's going to fix everything.
Yeah.
This is a different approach, and it's an approach that's really built on understanding, in like for you, what's really going on, getting that proper diagnosis, and then from there, building the right plan that can put you in a place where you have an actual solution.
Yeah. And having other awesome practitioners that understand what you're doing and the work that we do so that we can work together as a team.
Yeah.
And chiropractic is one. Naturopaths also really important, like I was talking about, food sensitivities, mold exposures, all of that. Getting the dog out of the bedroom, please. And then also are your ENTs, because sometimes there's so much obstruction or you can't physically breathe through the nose, so there's no way you can get your tongue up, and so you might need an ENT. So there's other practitioners that are always needed as well, and having a good team of those is super important.
Love it.
Dr.
It's really
Taylor.
Informative. Yeah.
Dr. Annie, appreciate you guys today being here on the show and sharing this insight with us. And we'll link how people can get a hold of you and where to find you. But absolutely, if they're dealing with an issue or there's something here, what's the right next step? Give the office a call.
Yeah, give the office a call. We can do a consultation. If it's just more for TMJ type of work, let off my front office know. We'll take some records. So we'll take a CT scan, a bite scan, and then I'll do my thorough analysis of the muscles and
take it from
and all there. Yeah, it's about a 1 hour long appointment just to look at the jaw.
Love it. So exciting. We look forward to have you back on the show, and we look forward to hear Aiden's journey as he goes down this. Maybe it'd be fun to have you guys back on down the road a little bit in a few months or however long the treatment process is to hear about the changes.
Yeah, we love
that before and after action.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for being here, and we will catch you on the next episode.